So good to have you with us on Air Talk. And again, our deep appreciation for your generous support of Air Talk on KPCC. Well, the Los Angeles Unified School District, like districts across the country, are trying to deal with how they're going to reopen on-campus facilities that have been free of students during this time of COVID-19. And at the same time, there is a very high-focus, high-profile pair of Los Angeles school board races that have seen tremendous amount of money come in on both sides. Joining us is KPCC K-12 education reporter Kyle Stokes. Kyle, good morning.
Hello, sir.
So this is against this whole backdrop of schools reeling financially, trying to deal with the pandemic. So what's at stake in these races?
I mean, so if the pandemic hasn't illustrated to you just what's at stake with public education, I would urge you to take a look at what's going on in school districts right now. Huge needs of students that are sort of being, you know, that the school board is ultimately responsible for meeting. This is Los Angeles. This is sort of a governance lesson, but Los Angeles is the largest school district in the country with an independent elected board. Which means that not the mayor or any other elected official has control over the school system. The school board is directly elected here by the voters, and that school board has real power to oversee the school district. And so if you are concerned, or if you think that the district is doing the right thing with the policies around, you know, how they're handling distance learning, reopening schools, and, you know, beyond the sort of pandemic related issues, charter school policy, how, you know, equity of funding is handled. There's been a huge debate in recent months about the role of school police in Los Angeles Unified. All of that is riding on the school board election. And of course, I'd be remiss without saying that the school board election is also this sort of, it has been and it has continued to be basically a proxy war between teachers unions and charter school interests, who again are sort of going at it, by spending millions of outside dollars. They've picked their candidates, and both are again going at it. And now, breaking records with the amount of money that they're spending on the race.
And Kyle, can you explain why this is still such an intense, you know, pitched battle between those two sides when Governor Newsom signed that bill, which makes it more challenging for charter schools to get approval from districts, and that's tightened that whole process? That's what the teachers' unions wanted to see happen. So why is this still such a big issue on a local school board?
Right. That charter school issue, the bill that you're referencing, it was supposed to have been a compromise that was supposed to get the two sides to, you know, kind of bury the hatchet, move on, and focus on the things that they both care about. Charter schools also get public funding, for example. So they're really interested in seeing Prop 15 pass this year, for example, this new school fund, a measure that would fund schools by raising commercial property taxes. And so the idea is, let's move on from all of this. But I think we've seen in Los Angeles Unified that this is not the end of the debate over charter schools. From the charter school perspective, they feel that the district is implementing that new law because it all really comes back to the school district, how the school district, you know, plays out those regulations at the local level. The charter side would say that the district is not being fair to charter schools in the way that they're playing it out. On the union side, they would say there are still real threats that are posed by charters to district-run schools because, as we say over and over, charter schools are publicly funded, but they're run not by the school district, but by, essentially private entities, by these nonprofit organizations. And when a student leaves an LAUSD school for a charter school, it essentially means that funding leaves the LAUSD, coffers as well. That dynamic still exists. The unions are still concerned about it, and more than just the unions. I mean, you know, there's intense parent activism on both sides of this issue as well. And, you know, that's a real live issue. So the The bill you're referencing is a compromise intended to sort of, you know, lower the temperature. I don't know whether that it's necessarily succeeded yet. And if you look at the election numbers and spending here, it certainly has not.
I'm really glad you raised the parent part of this, Kyle, because you, I'm sure more than me, but even I have been getting so many messages from parent organizations who are very unhappy with the district. They want to see campuses reopening. They're very critical of the stance that United Teachers Los Angeles, the union, has taken. So where do they fit into this, you know, the candidates, the sort of charter versus union candidates?
Yeah, so I mean, there are certainly groups that you reference that would like to see a more activist stance taken by the district toward reopening, pushing back a little bit more on the teachers union to reopen the district. On the other hand, I do think there are parents that are also kind of suspicious of the idea of reopening schools, and they might, you know, be, and I think it's when we talk about what how that plays out in the school board race, the candidates themselves, interestingly, when I talk to them, and you can look up, we've got candidate interviews with all four of the candidates in both the Board District 3 and the District 7 race on LAS.com right now. If you go there and read their positions on reopening schools, a lot of them, you know, sort of toe the same lines or at least similar lines. It seems like there's, you know, not a whole bunch of urgency to get back into, you know, sort of hybrid school mode, you know, super, super fast, at least any faster than what county health guidelines would allow. There's some, you know, candidates who are saying we should have special education students, for example, who are, you know, in really vulnerable situations and you know, may not be able to receive services over distance learning, maybe have them come in. But the candidates themselves are not necessarily right now staking out positions on reopening. That said, some of the parent groups you're referencing, Larry, the groups that are a little bit more focused on reopening schools and see that as more part of their as part of their agenda, they probably line up more with the charter side of things, I think, because they see that there's a school board member would need to take a tougher line against the teachers union and try and push the teachers union a little bit harder. So, you know, while the candidates themselves are not necessarily pushing hard on the issue of reopening, I think there is definitely a subset of parents who are lining up to the charter side because they feel like they would drive a harder bargain with the teachers union. I don't know how many parents feel that way, because again, I just want to clearly label that there are probably some parents, you know, many parents who are just as skeptical about the idea of pushing to reopen schools too soon.
So sure, but they would always be, my understanding is even if schools reopen their campuses, there would be an online distance option available, because there are a lot of reasons why some families where there are health vulnerabilities and like would not want to send their kids to school. So is anyone talking about actually mandating with reopening that all the students would have to come back to campus?
I'm unaware of that. Most of the focus that I've had in the last couple of weeks has been on the election. And of course, we did just have an announcement today from the county that they're going to move forward with allowing for a little bit broader reopenings than in the past. But to the specific question you're asking, that you would mandate someone to go back, you know, no, not necessarily.
Yeah, that would seem unlikely just because of the concerns, yeah.
But I would say, I just want to make the point that I think that parent and that public, that opinions about school reopening are complicated. And, I do think there is an intersection with the school board races. I just want to clearly label that it's a complicated issue for a lot of parents.
We're talking with KPECC K-12 education reporter Kyle Stokes. As he just mentioned, you can read his interviews with the four LAUSD candidates at LAS.com, just part of that in-depth coverage of the upcoming elections. District 7, it's Patricia Castellanos and Tanya Ortiz Franklin. And which one is getting the support of charters, which one's backed by the union?
Yeah, so Patricia Castellanos is the union-backed candidate in this race. She has a history working at the in the harbor with and also with some different labor allied activist groups, where she was, for example, a top ranking person at the LA Alliance for a New Economy, or LANE. They were, you know, famous for the $15 minimum wage resolution. She also co-founded a group called Reclaim Our Schools Los Angeles, which is affiliated with United Teachers Los Angeles, and so has been active in school policy, at least in that regard, and is also a parent of an LAUSD student. She has UTLA support. Tanya Ortiz Franklin doesn't have the support of the California Charter Schools Association, so there is no like official endorsement there. But she has gotten the support of some major charter school donors. Bill Bloomfield, to name one, a Manhattan Beach businessman, and Reed Hastings, who's the CEO of Netflix. They've spent a lot of money from the outside on this race, these independent expenditures. They've spent a large sum trying to support her candidacy. So no official charter support there. Okay. And by the way, Tanya Ortiz Franklin works for the Partnership for Law, or I should say is on leave from the Partnership for Los Angeles Schools, okay, which is an organization that runs, manages LAUSD campuses on the district's behalf.
And we should mention District 3, its incumbent Scott Schmerelson, who's hoping to hold on to his seat against the challenge of Marilyn Kozadiak and funding that's come in from charter school advocates to support her. Kyle, thank you so much. It's Air Talk on KPECC.